Call Victor Shook.
Okay, Mr. Shook, in North Dakota, whenever someone testifies at an administrative hearing, they are to be told about the penalties for perjury, and those penalties are up to $10,000 and 5 years in prison, and it is a Class C felony. Understanding those penalties, do you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth here today?
I do.
Okay, I will turn you over to Mr. Armstrong. He has questions for you. When he is through, then Mr. Lindberg will have questions, and then Ms. Jeff-Cosacco and everyone else will get to ask you questions as well. Go ahead, Mr. Armstrong.
Thank you. Mr. Shook, who are you employed by?
Employed by the Public Service Commission of North Dakota.
In what position?
I'm a public utility analyst.
Could you just briefly tell us your educational background?
I have a bachelor's degree in accounting. That's about it.
What do you do in your position as a public utility analyst for the commission?
I cover various cases that the Public Utilities Department handles, including rate cases, siting cases, and today damage prevention cases.
You've been assigned to advocacy staff in this case, is that correct?
That's correct.
Were you the first person assigned as advocacy staff in this case?
I was not.
Who was the person before you?
Julie Prescott.
You have in front of you what we've now marked as Exhibit 6. Could you tell us what that document is? And don't go into too many details yet. We haven't offered it yet. But could you just tell us what it is?
This is a letter that I sent to Mr. Lindberg on August 21st of 2014.
And what was the purpose of the letter? The
purpose of the letter was to clarify the date issue.
And was that a letter in case number that we've been discussing, PU-14-134?
Yes.
Did you include as attachments certain other correspondence to that letter?
I have.
And what other correspondence did you include?
I included a letter received by the commission from Mr. Lindberg dated April 2nd of 2014. I also included the original letter that Julie Prescott sent to Mr. Lindberg dated March 21st of 2014. And the actual third-party damage complaint received from Shane Hart at Reservation Telecom.
And were these all documents that you attached to it, were these documents within the case files and the public records of the Public Service Commission that you reviewed and saw when you took over this claim as advocacy staff?
Yes.
Offer Exhibit 6.
Mr. Lindberg, have you had an opportunity to look at this exhibit?
Yes.
Do you have an objection to it?
No.
It will be admitted then. Mr.
Chairman. I've got copies for the commission if they...
Okay.
I've got copies because I wanted to get admitted first.
Okay. Others. Go ahead, Mr. Armstrong.
What was the purpose of your letter that we've got in front of you as Exhibit 6?
The purpose of the letter was to clarify for Mr. Lindberg the date issue in his response that is attached to that Exhibit 6. He notes that they were not working in that area of the time the date listed on the original letter and the complaint. So once we received that, we did additional investigation, including talking to Reservation Telecom. And so the idea of this letter was to correct that date with Mr. Lindberg and request his response.
And based on your investigation, is it your understanding that the issue we're dealing with today is a break that occurred on or about August 22nd, 2013?
Yes.
Did Mr. Lindberg ever provide you a response to your letter in Exhibit 6?
He did not.
So is it fair to say that you don't necessarily know what his position is with respect to this case?
That's correct.
We've got in this case, as part of your role as an advocacy staff, to recommend a penalty in cases such as this?
It is.
Could you describe what penalty you're recommending in this case?
In this case, I am recommending a penalty of $5,500.
Could you explain why you're recommending that penalty amount?
Certainly. The order of our cases is a little bit different today. So originally, this was the 11th case that I was reviewing for Northern Excavating, and as such, I assigned a penalty based on the incident number for a particular excavator. The penalty goes up by $500 per incident, This being the 11th that I had received for Northern Excavating, so 500 times 11 would take us up to $5,500. In some other cases, there was an additional penalty assessed for severity or for the impact to customers. This one did not have that.
Why is that?
Just because it was a smaller line that didn't have as great of a customer impact as a larger line may have.
So just because I can hopefully... you've been assigned on, is it 14 Northern Excavating cases?
Correct.
And so this one was actually the 11th that came in sequentially?
Yes.
And the fine you're proposing in this one is based on $500 for each previous allegation?
It is.
Some of which, I guess maybe all of which, still remain to be proven?
Correct.
That's all the questions I have.
Thank you. Mr. Lindbergh, do you have questions for Mr. Shook?
Just wondering how, you know, with your analyzing the 11th case when this case came in shortly after the other ones came in, and how you assigned it number 11.
It did not come in 11th in line. So the Public Service Commission received this as the 11th complaint against Northern Excavating. I realize chronologically the date of the damage does not line up, but we receive and number cases based on when they're received by the commission. So even though this one is a little bit, you know, kind of more in the middle of the range of the first seven we talked about this morning, in the order of which it was received by the commission.
Isn't it followed by date of damage?
We would have to reorder cases constantly if we were to do it in that manner, because we receive cases on a daily basis.
But would it be the party that's sending in the complaint to have their ducks in order of getting them in date and time?
That
they should have had it 2 years before that?
It's preferable to have them sooner rather than later, but having them later does not change the facts of the cases.
Fact, though, is it didn't fall in the correct time period, basically.
It did. The order of our case numbers does not follow sequentially with the incident dates.
Okay, that's all I have.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Chekosako?
We don't have any questions.
Commissioner Call.
Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you, Victor, for your testimony this afternoon. I understand it's a different proceeding, but I believe the max fine in our morning's proceeding was $4,000, what you recommended.
That is...
And that'd be their seventh case?
That's correct, yes.
So would it be reasonable to view that if the commission acted that this is the eighth case for a decision, that you might find it acceptable for this fine to be recommended fine to be $4,500.
Yes.
Okay. And then there was some discussion between you and Mr. Armstrong about basically you're trying to get information from the company to determine what to do next. But you didn't receive the last round of comments, questions from the company?
Yes. Yeah, so throughout the process of the staff investigation, excuse me, it's helpful to have a response from the excavator or the respondent to make a determination. It's not always necessary, but it is preferable to get a response from them to help determine, you know, what exactly happened. In this case, although we did try, we were not able to receive a response from Mr. Lindbergh on his side of the events.
There was one of the cases, and I can't remember if it was this one. I think it may have been, but the commission staff actually had to use the sheriff to serve. Do you recall that at all?
I do. We actually used the sheriff in two different situations to serve documents on Mr. Lindbergh. We attempted to serve him with different notices and complaint filings via certified mail, which was all returned.
So do you feel that once again, it was different proceedings, but you may have only been at the commission for a couple of years, but you've done a lot of these. And how would you rate the ability to work through this with the company compared to what you normally see?
It is drastically different. Generally speaking, even companies who don't agree with what my viewpoint or opinion is on a certain case, they will at least engage with me with discussions. You know, I've been yelled at on the phone, things like that, which is fine. It's part of the job. But I guess Mr. Lindbergh did not even give me the opportunity to yell at me over the phone. I was not able to reach him. I made several attempts to contact him over the phone. I left messages with his secretary. And I was never able to receive any kind of response or engagement, which I would absolutely welcome on all of these cases.
Based on your experience, and you know, you've worked both sides of these many times, do you feel that some of the challenges you had with contacting Northern Excavating may have led to RTC's frustration for filing these cases?
Certainly.
Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you, Commissioner Fedorchuk.
Victor, do you have any sense of at what point do we get involved in this process, we being the Public Service Commission, in terms of after there's a violation? Do you have a sense from working with the owners of the underground facilities how much of this they work out on their own that doesn't even get to us?
Yes. So I've had discussions with various, you know, so Reservation Telecom is obviously very relevant to this one, but other utility operators, and the items that we receive as part of a damage complaint process is an incredibly small minority of the actual damage that happens out there on a regular basis. I believe that some numbers I've heard from Reservation Telecom were upwards of 70 hits in a given year. And these are the only ones that were reported to us.
So these are the only cases from Reservation Telephone we've had in the last year?
Correct.
So, and is it 8 from Reservation Telephone?
Yes.
So the other 62, they've worked out without any issues? Do you have any sense of what happens there? Is there the damages are paid and that's that, or...
I think, generally speaking, that's how they happen. I mean, I don't know of each individual line hit that they've happened. That's for certain the situation. But from the brief discussion I've had with them, that's my sense of how most of these happen.
And then, is there another process that is involved that doesn't lead to this hearing? Tell me about that.
The other option, and it's certainly my preference in handling these cases, is a consent order. Whereby I propose a penalty amount and a settlement agreement with the excavator or the respondent, and provided they agree, it's brought before you as the commission to approve. It's obviously a much quicker and painless method to close these cases out, and we've had pretty great success with other companies in getting those through.
And what's involved in that? Do you initiate the consent order?
I do. So, excuse me. I prepare the consent order based on the facts that I've received throughout the case, along with my view of what the violation was of the law. Once I do that, obviously it's kind of reviewed, you know, internally by staff to make sure there's no clerical issues within that. Once that's done, I present that to the company for... you know, them to approve or deny. And if they authorize it or sign it, then it would be brought before the commissioners. If they do not, actually at the time I would present them with a consent order. I would also normally present them, you know, you can either go with the consent order or I will file a formal complaint and we'll go through the hearing process. Since we weren't able to receive any feedback from Mr. Lindbergh, we weren't able to go the consent route because I couldn't speak to him.
So you didn't mail him a draft consent order?
We generally don't mail them out. We prefer to discuss them before we would mail them anywhere, and I wasn't able to discuss anything with Mr. Lindbergh.
In that discussion, do you sometimes arrive at a number that both parties think is fair, or do you determine what it is and dictate?
Generally, we come up with a number, and it, if we can't agree to that number, we will go to a hearing.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Victor.
Thank you very much. Commissioner Christman.
I think the only question I have is just clarifying again that the 5,500 number is based on it being the at least 11th
right.
Case. And if that were 10, you would be suggesting 5,000. Or if it were 8, you'd be suggesting 4,000.
100% correct.
Okay. Thank you. No other questions.
Thank you very much. Mr. Armstrong, anything else?
Just one quick follow-up. Mr. Shook, you talked about when we go to a formal hearing. That's also a procedure that we do through a separate even complaint process. Is that correct?
Correct.
And what you were talking about earlier with the sheriff serving, we had the sheriff serve that complaint on Mr. Lindbergh, correct?
Correct.
Did we ever receive an answer to that complaint from Northern Excavating?
We did not.
Thank you.
Mr. Lindbergh, any questions?
Did you ever contact me about a consent agreement?
No, I tried several times to reach you at your office. Each time I called, your secretary said you weren't available or were gone, something to that effect. I left numerous messages with her asking for her to let you know to call me, and I have received no response to any of those.
That's all I have.
All right, thank you.
You can step down.
Sure. We don't have any questions.
Okay, thank you. Step down then. Mr. Armstrong, do you have any other witnesses?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. Mr. Lindbergh, do you have any witnesses you wish to call?
No.
Okay. This time, then, we will do closing arguments. Mr. Armstrong.
Just a question, a clarification, Your Honor. you talk to my attorney, I guess it's their right to not offer any witnesses at all. But just to make sure that the individual understands you're representing yourself and what you give us is what we make our decision on.
Exactly.
Okay. Just want to make sure I put that in the record.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Mr. Armstrong.
I'll be brief. I'll just follow up on, I guess, that, because the evidence in front of you in this case is that the lines are properly marked, that they were damaged by Northern Excavating. There's no explanation for that damage. It establishes a violation under the no-fault law, or the one-called law, excuse me. We'd ask that a penalty imposed be consistent with the damage shown in the complaints and through the testimony. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Lindbergh, do you have a closing argument you wish to make?
Once again, we complied with the one call, and the circumstances around the excavation
Can I just stop you here?
Okay.
You understand that the hearing that we had this morning, none of that, this is a new hearing.
Right.
So none of that has been entered in this case. So Commissioner Kalk is correct.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing, none of that information about the cave-ins, about the water, about the soil conditions is in the record right now in this case. And so
it was with the locator, with Cassie.
Okay, so you're comfortable with that then?
Yep.
All right, please go ahead then.
Just want to reiterate the circumstances of the field conditions dictated that we did everything that we could to protect those lines. And as to a consent agreement, I was not ever approached with a phone call of a message, so.
Your Honor, I have another question. I'm kind of caught off guard by the not doing the testimony, but I was hoping to get in my favorite one-call book in the record, as well as the email from Mr. Lindbergh to Ms. Sacco saying about the company terminating. So I know that's completely out of order, but I want to get that in the record somehow for this case.
Right, and those will be respectively marked Exhibit 7 and Exhibit 8. Mr. Lindbergh, Mr. Armstrong, do you have an objection?
No, they're already, I mean, the one-call book would be
that's the statute,
the
right.
Law, so I think that can obviously be considered without admitting it. The email with respect to the business is part of the docket as a communication, so whether it's marked as an exhibit in this case or not, I guess, is up to the commission.
I will look at our general counsel. I just want to make sure that I can use it to make the decision on.
Well, yes, I think we're always safer if they're exhibits as opposed to just in the docket. But I do want to clarify that one call handbook is more than the law.
I haven't seen it. So
it's the law and some
protocols.
Someone's interpretation of how to do one call correctly.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, Mr. Lindbergh, do you object to having these exhibits admitted?
No.
Okay. They will be admitted then.
I passed it down, Your Honor. It's working its way.
Hearing nothing else, is there anything from the commission, any closing remarks, or does any other party have anything else they wish to state?
I think, Commissioner Kalk, you have the other exhibit that you wanted to enter. I think it's still in front of you. Yep. So we need that.
It says Exhibit 19 on it.
Well, so I will get a clean copy and give it 7 or 8, whichever it's supposed to have, for this particular file when I can.
All right. Any other comments from anyone?
Your Honor, I would think the commissioners may have a couple thoughts. I just have a quick thought. The process going forward for Mr. Lindbergh and everyone else that's listening is that we have a commission meeting next week. We'll schedule a work session on it. The commission will then deliberate in the work session what we're going to do. Everybody will give us any outstanding information. I think it's kind of wrapped up. The commission will make a decision, and maybe all three of us, maybe two of us, but we'll go forward as quickly as possible on these sets of cases, and we still have to schedule the other one. But just thank everyone for coming out here today. And Mr. Lindbergh, I just encourage you that if you have questions on communication, they're sitting right here, you guys are. So thank you.
All right. Thank you. Any of the other commissioners have comments they wish to make?
Not any major comments. Just want to thank everyone for participating today and putting together the cases, and Mr. Lindbergh for representing yourself and doing a good job of it and explaining your positions. And these things are never easy, and this one is probably one of the toughest I've seen. So we'll work quickly and try to come to a conclusion, a fair conclusion, without dragging it out any longer.
Commissioner Chrisman.
Your Honor, I think everything's been said, and not everyone needs to say it. So I'm good.
Well, thank you very much. It looks like it's 4 o'clock by my clock, and this hearing is now closed. Thank you, everyone.